After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was at hand. And lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of these of them to get even a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley of loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley of loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that what he has done, they said, "This indeed is a prophet who has come into the world." I'll ask Ruth to come and read John 21.
John 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you not have any fish? Oh, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast out the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they casted it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple who Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out of the land, they saw the charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Please keep your Bibles open.
Why don't we pray for Rob as he comes and for Tom as he goes with the kids? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word is true. Thank you that your word is what we need for our salvation. Thank you that you can speak to us in a language that we understand. And we pray that as you speak through Tom in the language that the kids can understand, we pray you prepare the hearts of the children to receive you, to know who you are and to love you. And we pray as Rob comes that you will help him to speak clearly that which you have taught him by your word. And Father, prepare our hearts to receive you, to receive your word, to receive your salvation, to believe and to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So kids, go with Tom.
Let's come back, right? It's coming through.
Well, hello everyone. It's wonderful to see you. It has been a great couple of weeks. Thinking back to last weekend, having lots of people in here on the Friday and on the Sunday, welcoming some new people as well. It was great to see what God was doing, just sort of in the opportunity we have to invite people in, and people were responsive to that. So we can give thanks to God for that. We had our reading from John chapter 20 for our Easter all-age service. That's what we're looking at, the witness of about Jesus' resurrection, to him actually appearing to Mary, to the disciples, and to Thomas last week. So George has prayed for us. If you can keep your Bibles open, we'll be looking at chapter 21, just the first half of it today. Have you ever had a shocked response to someone you didn't expect to see? Maybe they're in a different place to where you expected them. I've had situations actually where Hannah's sister, who's a twin, she's in the Midlands, Rebecca. Hannah's in the South. It's not often that they're sort of in the same part of the UK. But if Rebecca was walking down the road here, I'd be shocked because I think I've seen Hannah and I've just seen her at the house. Have you ever been shocked when you saw someone? What did you say? How did you respond? It's you. What are you doing here? Last week we were looking at the account that John gives us of the appearances of Jesus to the disciples and to Mary. And their responses went like this. They said, Mary said, I have seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. She went and told the disciples. They also had an appearance of Jesus. And they went and said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And then Thomas himself, when Jesus showed him the hands and his side, he said, my Lord and my God. He was saying, I won't believe. And then he sees and he believes. We've seen why John is writing this account for us. He's got a purpose in mind for the readers, for us here today. It's there in chapter 20, verse 31. 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John doesn't leave us guessing about why he's telling us these things. He wants us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came to die for sinners, that he is the Son of God, the one who will return to rule. And that by believing this, we may have life in his name. But now, it's a bit odd, isn't it, that it kind of seems to finish up at the end of chapter 20. Seems like a nice sort of tying up of the book. And then we get chapter 21. We're like, oh, okay, is this an extended version? What's going on in chapter 21? Well, in our passage today, Jesus reveals who he is a third time to the disciples through a miracle first, and then through meeting them on the beach. And that's what John says, isn't it? In verse 21, he says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. And then if you look down at the end of the passage we just read, this was now the third time, verse 14, that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So John's putting the spotlights here on Jesus revealing who he is to the disciples. He even says that when they saw him on the beach, they heard him speak to them, but they did not know who he was. And then you hear John saying from the boat after the miracle, "It is the Lord!" And that's the point at which Peter dives overboard and goes swimming. So we get this, it's all about Jesus revealing who he is to the disciples. So we're going to look at those both in turn. We're going to look at the miracle itself, and then we're going to look at him on the beach. But you notice we read that passage from John 6, which is very similar, isn't it? Don't know if you noticed how similar it is. John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with very little, and he multiplies to great vast quantities of fish and bread, and he gives it to them, and it says he gave out the bread and also the fish. And if you look down with me, it says Jesus gave them the bread in verse 13. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so also with the fish. We'll get to that in a minute, but Jesus is giving them an example, another miracle. It is a new miracle, but it's very familiar. And that's because the miracle that he did in feeding the 5,000 was before he died. He's been through death. He's come back alive. He's showing he's the same guy standing before them. And he does a miracle that is very familiar to them. He multiplies fish in great number and quantity. He gives it to them. And even it happens in the same place. So if you look down with me at verse 1, Sea of Tiberias. In our reading, we heard that that's the exact location where Jesus fed the 5,000. He's in the same place. He's revealing himself in this way so that they can be under no uncertain terms that he is Jesus. It's not someone else. It is the same guy who's risen from the grave. But John is telling us about this not just for, and Jesus is doing this not so the disciples would know it's Jesus, but so that we would know for certain too. That we would be sure of what it is, of who it is. So let's have a look. I'm going to talk about these two things, the miracle and also the meeting on the beach, with kind of the central command that Jesus gives in that section. So the central command of the miracle itself is cast the net on the right side of the boat. And the central command of the second section is come and have breakfast. So let's have a look at them together. Let's read from verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, the disciples, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but only about 100 yards off. John starts off by telling us two things we need to know, that the disciples had been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. All seasoned fishermen. And they caught nothing. And now it's the early morning, day's just about to break. And the second thing he tells us is that though Jesus is still on the shore and calling out to them, perhaps it's the dim light, they did not know who he was. They heard his voice. You know, when you get, you know, people who fish often, I don't know, they probably get quite a lot of advice from passers-by, don't they? Oh, you know, you should fish over there. You know, have you tried this hook? Have you done this thing? That's what they heard. They heard the advice and they followed what Jesus said. but they did not know it was him. And it is through the miracle that they see that it is him. Jesus is revealed to them through the miracle, because only Jesus could have done that. Only God could have done that. There's all the fishermen, the fact that they respond in this way must show us that what they were seeing was something completely unusual. It's not like just your average day on the boat. It's just, they've not caught anything in these waters for 9 hours or some 10 hours. And now Jesus is saying, have you tried there? And then suddenly when they do it, there's this huge haul and the fish are large and there's 153. It's just, it's like nothing they've ever seen before. So the miracle shows them who it is that's standing before them. This is the risen Savior. This is the Lord. And that's what he says, isn't it? It is the Lord. And then Peter hears that and throws himself in. I love this because we're not told why Peter did this. But do you remember John was the first one to get to the tomb? John writes in his, we both ran to the tomb, but I was first. And then here Peter's like diving in. Maybe he's thinking, I'm going to get a head start. I'm not going to let John beat me again. I'm going to get to Jesus first. Seasoned fishermen are seeing something that just doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. And the hold is so large that they can't even bring the net into the boat. They have to just carry it in the water back to the shore. And notice how John says, Peter left us to do that. The other disciples, verse 8, came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land. It makes the point. Yeah, Peter didn't really give us much help there. He was too busy swimming. How does this miracle do this? How does it reveal who Jesus is? Well, I've suggested it, and I think it's that it is a repeat performance. They've seen this kind of miracle before. They had 5,000 people, well, more than that, because that was probably just the men, fed by Jesus, multiplied quantities, vast quantities of food for them. And Jesus handed out the bread and the fish at the Sea of Tiberias. And so they know this is the same guy standing before us now. And we know that too. We can have confidence and assurance that Jesus is risen. But I want us to look at the second half of this because it feels like a bit of an anticlimax. Did you get that as you're reading? Remember what's happened here. Chapter 20, well, before chapter 20, Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. He's made these appearances to all the people. And you sort of expect something like a rousing speech of like, come on guys, the next part of the plan is this. This is what's going to happen. You're involved. We're going to go. We're going to do something. And what does he command them to do? In verse 12, he says, come and have breakfast. It feels like a bit of an anticlimax. It's like what Jesus is commanding them to do is sort of seems so ordinary and everyday. It's like, is this it? Jesus, after everything that you've done, it feels like a bit of a lull. Jesus will get on to some of his instruction for what he wants them to do with Peter in the passage we'll look at next week. But for the time being, Jesus' command to them is simply come and I'll feed you. And though that seems really ordinary, it's quite pedantry really, it's amazingly profound, isn't it, that Jesus says, what you need most is to come to me and I will feed you. Before I ask you to do anything for me, come to me and I will feed you. There's a sort of a dependence that he's writing into them through that. So let's look at the command, come and have breakfast, in verses 9 to 13. When they got out on land, the disciples saw a charcoal fire in place with fish already laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and finally got involved. and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's not go and do great things initially that Jesus says, it's come and eat with me. It seems a bit odd to have just a breakfast on the beach with Jesus at this point in the gospel, but it shows something very tender about Jesus, doesn't it? He could have ignored their needs. He could have completely gone, you know, I'm just going to get on with what I'm going to do. But no, he doesn't. He acknowledges they're weak. They're hungry. They're tired. And their physical need is important. And he says, I've already got that ready for you. Notice the fish that they've just caught, that massive haul, isn't required with Jesus because he already has fish ready for them. And Jesus is saying, come and eat. And he's showing his tender care for his people. He is the commanding officer who says, we're going to go. But he is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, who cares lovingly for his people. He's not rushing on with the program without any regard for them. Of course they're hungry. They've been fishing all night. And he says, come, and I will give you food. I will feed you. Of course, we're not with Jesus now in the flesh, are we? How is he going to sustain us? Because he does care about sustaining us, his people. He tenderly cares for our needs. He will do that practically when we ask him, give us this day our daily bread. But he does that spiritually, doesn't he? He does that through his word. As we come to him, we hear his words through the apostles, through their testimony about him. And so here we have a reminder that Jesus loves us. He loves us. He cares for us. And I think I need this reminder because often I'm busy doing stuff or, you know, distracted, and I think, God, this is really hard work and I'm getting on with it. And yet I need the reminder, first and foremost, that Jesus loves me, that he cares deeply for me. He cares about my physical weaknesses, and he cares about my spiritual need. And he provides. And he does that for the disciples here. He's tender, he's loving. He is the good shepherd. He has proven that by laying his life down for the sheep. He's proven that love. No hired hand does that. The good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, lays down his life. And when he's raised, what's he still doing? He's still caring for them. He's still providing for them. He's still nurturing them. He's still loving them. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what Jesus is doing through each of us here, his people. He is still caring and providing for his people. So what does this mean for us? Well, I think if you are a believer, it's the reminder that Jesus loves you. He's genuinely concerned for your welfare. He knows what you need. And that kind of love, that kind of tenderness we should feel something, shouldn't we? We should sort of be excited by that or grateful for that, or because he's constantly doing that for us. And there's a trust as well, isn't it, that Now, I'm not going to do things in my strength. I'm going to go to Jesus because he is the one who I need. Not, I could try and do things myself, but that's going to end in a mess. Jesus is the one I need to come to. And that I can come to because he knows who I am. Do you need to be reminded of Jesus' love for you? It's sort of, you've got it there in sort of, I know it's a truth, Jesus loves me, but do I need to be reminded of that personally? Before I've done anything for him, without doing anything for him, he set his love upon us. And he is a generous lover. He just keeps loving us. He doesn't stop. And he cares for us in his resurrection. That's what he's doing for his people. If you're not a Christian, don't you want to be led by someone who loves you? That doesn't just say they love you. We can all say we love each other, can't we? It's very easy to say. It's very hard to do. And Jesus here has proven his love through what he has done. He proves it by laying down his life. That was of no benefit to him. That was of every benefit to us. And so he's proven his love. Do you want to be led by someone like that? Because we will be led by someone else, someone who says they love us, someone who wants our affections, our loyalties. And yet that might be a real letdown. It will be. It will turn out to be a fraud because that person can't do that. They're doing it out of love for themselves often. But Jesus doesn't do that. He loves, he tenderly loves his people. Do you want to be led by a shepherd who is always tender and loving in his concern for you? Concern for your practical needs, your physical needs, and also your spiritual needs. Will you come to him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that Jesus is risen. Thank you that he revealed himself, that there is evidence, there's proof that he's given us that it is really him who stood with his disciples. Thank you also that he shows his care and tender care for his people. He's not going away and doing ignoring what they need. He is willing to provide for them. And we pray that we would be learning to trust you, to delight in the fact that you love us and keep loving us. We pray that that love that you have for us would turn into love for you. That we would love that you love us in this way. And we pray you'd be willing to obey you because we trust that you love us and you know what's best. And we pray that we'd be willing to talk to other people about your love that has been proven for sinners. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.